I need it.
All right. Yeah, I'm Roger Everhart. We moved to Severance, Colorado about 3 years ago to start a church out there. And what I'd like to share with you guys this morning is just a little bit of a journey that I've been on for the last 3 years and share some things. I got a couple personal testimonies for you guys. But when you serve the Lord, it takes a lot of strength. And I'm going to talk to you guys about serving the Lord in our physical strength, in our emotional strength, and our mental strength. I'm going to talk about being strong men. When you serve the Lord, He needs strong men. Can anybody tell me what this verse is? What's this verse called? The what? The greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. What does it mean to be the greatest commandment? Is this a commandment maybe we should pay attention to? Is this a commandment maybe we should think about? I've actually been thinking a lot about this verse probably since last fall. It's a verse that we should meditate on because it is the greatest commandment. Now, you guys have seen this verse before, and I will tell you that when you see a verse up here through different speakers more than once, I want you to star it. I want you to highlight it. We don't get together, and Josh did not send out verses and say, okay, everybody's got to use these verses in their... These are all overlapping verses from all the different speakers. That I think it's a message from God when you see a verse more than one, used more than once. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. You were created in God's image as a man. With masculinity. You're created to glorify Him with that masculinity. And later in the chapter, the end of the chapter, after God created everything, God took a step back, saw all that He created, and He said, "This is very good." Not just good, but very good. He didn't take a step back and kind of go, "Oh, I guess that'll do. Eh, it's all right. It'll work." He stepped back and says, "Very good." That is pretty encouraging to me. That really encouraged me when I read that as I've been putting this together. So we're going to do something kind of fun today. Like I said, I'm going to talk about physical strength, I'm going to talk about emotional strength, and I'm going to talk about mental strength. At the end of my first point, we're actually all going to do a little workout together. We're going to see how strong you guys are. First Corinthians 16, 13, and 14. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. I love this verse. Be watchful. Guys, we've got to be ready. And Paul says, stand firm in the faith. A few verses before this in 1 Corinthians, as he's writing this out, he's in Ephesus. And he says he wants to go visit the Corinthians, but he's like, I got to stay here in Ephesus because a great door of opportunity has opened up to me. But many oppose me. I am guessing that many oppose you guys. And Paul says, stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be men of courage. Be strong. It's going to take a lot of strength. And then I really love the end of this, because it takes the macho, tough guy out of this, and it says, whatever you do, do it all in love. It just kind of rounds it all out. Now I'm guessing, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm guessing that most of you men have surrendered your heart to God, and you have decided that you wanted to follow the Lord. I am guessing, though, that there's a few of you that haven't done that yet. And you're here, and you want to hear from the Lord. I want to encourage you. I just want you to know, for one thing, I've been praying for you. And I want to encourage you just to pray and ask God to reveal Himself to you. Because when you submit and you give your heart to the Lord, there's no greater adventure that you could ever go on. It is the most important decision you can make in your life. And I can guarantee it, you will never regret it. Ask God to show you where He's at. And for all of those that you've surrendered, you can just pray and ask God to keep speaking to you and stirring in you. All right, physical strength. Josh said last night that men are stronger than women. True. Here's this verse again. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, or with all your mind and all your strength. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for physical training is of some value. We need to put a little bit of value in our physical training, in our bodies. Have you guys seen this verse? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. We can honor God with our bodies in a lot of different ways. I'm going to talk about your physical way you can honor the Lord. I want to talk about a few misconceptions about our physical strength and being physically fit, hopefully to kind of set some things straight. I'm not talking about spending 3 hours a day in the gym and getting gigantic big and thinking, oh, now I've made it, I've arrived. Or sitting on the couch playing video games forever and you can't hardly do anything because you're stuffing yourself full of potato chips and you have no energy to do anything. So misconception number one, big muscles equal hot chicks. Negative. If you meet a girl that is after your muscles, you better run as fast as you can in the opposite direction. She's got a lot of growing up to do. Our bodies become our idol. That's not what I'm talking about. You don't need to get gigantic to be physically fit. It's actually unhealthy. Too much time wasted in the gym. Use our physical strength to intimidate. Don't do that. If you start to get strong, or even if you are strong, you don't want to use your strength to intimidate. That's in the 1 Corinthians verse talks about do everything in love. When you intimidate somebody, that's not loving. So you just want to watch out for that. There's a lot of reasons why we should exercise. There's a lot of physical reasons we can exercise. If you Google Why should I exercise? All of these things are going to come up in Google on hundreds of different research that they've done. It's going to help your heart. It's going to help your high blood pressure. It's going to cut down on certain cancers. It's going to drop your weight. It's going to help you with osteoporosis. It's going to be premature death, and it's going to cure your low energy. Those are all obvious things. The list goes on. I just ran out of slide space. Oh, frequent illness. Exercise for the mind. This is a little bit more where I think all of these points that I'm going to talk about kind of tie in. And this was pretty encouraging, but when we exercise, or if we don't exercise, we have a higher risk of anxiety and depression. Do you know how much anxiety and depression that our culture swims in right now? Now, I'm not saying if you go out and exercise that you're going to cure all your anxiety and depression. That's not what I'm saying. I'm going to say this exercise will help cut that down. You can go on that back table over there. I don't know, there's four or five books back there that talk about depression and anxiety. Exercise will help that. We have a trouble seeing the bright side of things. Do you realize how many negative people you're around all the time? There's a lot of negative people. We struggle to solve problems when we're not exercising. We have low self-esteem or low confidence when we don't exercise. And we can't manage stress very well. So exercising has some value. So why don't we exercise? It takes too much time, it's too painful, I don't like to suffer. I'm too spiritual. It's too expensive. It is expensive, or it can be. Too tired, no motivation, too stressed, and I don't have any skill. I'm going to blow most of these out of the water right now, or I'm not sure what to do. We're going to blow these out of the water, most of them. I don't think I can help you with the too painful. This might hurt. But we're going to do it. We're going to do a workout. I want Micah and Kai to come up here. They're going to help me. You guys need to spread out a little bit. How many people know what an AMRAP is? AMRAP is as many rounds as possible. So I'm going to help you guys. So it's not about what you can do or your skill level, because we have... I'll fix that. We're going to do 7 push-ups, 7 jumping lunges, 7 burpees, and 7 air squats in 7 minutes. Not in 7 minutes, but you're going to keep going for 7 minutes. You could probably do a round in a minute. I'm looking to see if you guys can get to 6 to 7 rounds. So, push-up. Some of you guys are like, I can't even do a push-up. We'll help you with that. So, a standard push-up is chest on the ground. Show them a standard push-up, Micah. Okay. All right. If you have a hard time doing a regular push-up, drop your knees to the ground and do a push-up. There's no shame in that. Just the other day, I did knee push-ups in a workout. Jumping lunges. Show them jumping lunges. Can't do jumping lunges, or you can't do 7 of them. Do step back lunges. Just like that. 7 burpees. Show me a burpee. Got to have the little jump at the top. If you can't do the jumping burpee, do a step back burpee. And then 7 air squats. Show me an air squat. Air squat is when your hip goes below your knee. If you can't get your hip below your knee, just go down as far as you can. Okay? Make some space. I'm going to start a timer. Just a little bit, especially you dads. Okay. Hold your arms out, stretch your arms out. Give me some forward arm circles. Give me some back arm. Go backwards. Go forward again. Go backward again. Okay. Everybody drop down on one knee. With the arm that's the same side of that your knee is back, put it out in front of you on the ground. And then you're going to take your other elbow and you're going to try to come on the inside of your leg and go down as far as you can. And then I want you to reach all the way up and stretch back. Do that four more times. This is called Spider-Man. Switch legs. Do it again five times.
Oh, yeah. I should do this every morning. You? Shut up.
Switch legs again. This is going to be a poor one for your butt. Okay, we're going to do a different one. So I want you to rock forward. And then I want you to go back. Keeping your heel on the ground, you should feel a good pull in your back of your leg and your butt. Do that three or four times. Switch legs. Do it again. We have to go start going a little faster up and run out of time. All right, hopefully you guys all have a place to do a push-up. Let's do a push-up in what they call into a down dog. Anybody know what a down dog is?
Yeah.
Okay. Your butt goes way up into the air. You need five of those. It's a good stretching. Okay, everybody stand up. Put your feet slightly outside of your shoulders. Grab your toes, squat down with your chest up. With your chest up. Give me five of those. Okay. Let's do a practice round. Two burpees, two jumping lunges, two push-ups, two jumping lunges, two burpees, and two air squats. I'm going to set a timer for 7 minutes. The goal
is just to get your heart rate up.
Both to win.
Is everybody ready?
We got to keep rolling on this. So you're going to do 7 of everything, and when you get through the list, you're going to start over, and you're going to start back over with the push-ups, and you're going to do everything again 7 times. And if you make it through a second time, you're going to start over. And we're just going to keep doing that until the 7 minutes is up. Does everybody understand that?
Sure.
It's not 7 minutes to get through everything once. Okay, I will let you know. You'll hear my timer beeper beeping here. Okay, here we go. 10 seconds. Go. We usually have music playing really loud. Somebody would be up for taking a little bit of video of this, which would be awesome. Good job, Steele.
Go, yes, Steele!
Go, Steele!
You guys are doing great. Keep going.
You're on the second round of purpose.
1 minute down, 6 to go. Keep going. Get your heart rate up. Think about the heart disease that's going away right now.
No more COVID.
No. You're going to build some energy.
Come on, buddy. Let's go. We got it.
Good job. You guys are doing great. Keep going. It's only a 7-minute workout. We're not spending 3 hours in the gym. 5 minutes left. Good job, Andy. Keep going.
Okay. I see you.
Shut up.
Wow.
Almost there. Keep going. You'll be able to take a break here in a few seconds.
Keep going. Keep going.
You guys are doing awesome. Good job, Josh.
God bless you, Josh.
About 2 minutes left. You're almost there.
2 minutes, 5 minutes ago.
Good job. Keep going. Push through. You're doing good. In our last minute. You guys are doing awesome. Keep going. 45 seconds. Kai? Huh? How many rounds did you do?
I was on jumping ledges for my eighth round.
Okay. Woo! How was that? You guys weren't sure what to do? I told you what to do. You guys are doing great. Your skill was fine. You weren't too stressed. You might have got a little tired, but you weren't too tired to do it. It was not expensive. I didn't charge you for that. You're not too spiritual. You're very spiritual. It might be a little pain, but it didn't take that much time. A little bit of exercise is good for our bodies. How many people feel like they got a workout? Freddie is sweating. And he's breathing hard. It's good to get your blood flowing, to breathe hard. You'll sleep better. Men, take care of your bodies. God wants to use you to do mighty things. That's why He made you strong. All right. You guys ready? He made you guys, God made you strong. He made you strong for a reason. Take care of your bodies. All right, let's move on to emotional strength. I got to roll through this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. I kind of think that's where a lot of your emotion comes from. There's a few misconceptions about our emotions. I feel like there's two camps of emotions. One camp's over here of pack all your emotions down. You don't express them. You're a man. We don't express emotions. That's for girls. And over here, our emotions are real explosive. We just can't keep them under control. We show no emotion. We can come judgmental. Tough guys don't cry. Let's take a look at the toughest guy that walked on the earth. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied, and Jesus wept. The cool thing about this verse is the last line. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." A lot of times when Jesus did something, people always said, "Well, if the Lord, if he was the Messiah, then he would have known." It was always negative. In this verse, they saw something different in Jesus. They saw how he loved him. And when we have emotional strength, we open ourselves up to love deeply. I have a little personal testimony. Hope I can get through this. I can't tell you the whole thing, but I got to hurry through it. But when I was in the seventh grade, I was probably one of the smallest guys in our school, me and two other guys. And one, I think it was like early in the week, I had an altercation with one of the other smaller guys in my school. It was a misunderstanding. If you want to know more about that story, I can tell you later. But he wanted to fight. And this was on a Monday. He was an out-of-town kid, so he had to ride the bus home after school. But on Thursday, he was going to stay in town for a football game. And so Thursday was the day we were going to fight. And so he built that up all week through the whole school. Our school wasn't very big, so it wasn't like 500 people. But he built it up. And I would talk to my mom and dad about it. I'm like, "Well, this kid, he just wants to fight." And I'm like, I don't know why. And they're like, "Well, it takes two to fight. Don't worry about it. Don't fight." I said, "Okay, I won't fight." Thursday came. I'm walking home from school. There's the crowd of people waiting for me. Not the whole school, but a big portion of the school was out ready to watch a fight. So I walk up and I just stand there, and this kid belted me right in the chin really hard. Two things. It hurt like crazy. Second thing, everybody started laughing. And I started crying because I was humiliated. And I walked home crying. And I made a vow that day that I would never cry in front of anybody else ever again. I held that vow up until about 2 years ago. I'm going to push pause on that for a second. I'll come back to that story. Emotion is a conscious mental reaction, such as anger or fear, subjectively experienced as a strong feeling, usually directed toward a specific object, typically accompanied by physiological and behavioral changes in the body. This is a definition right out of a dictionary. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control." Proverbs 16:32, "Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city." Proverbs is saying we've got to keep ourselves under control. We can't be flying off the handle. That's the second camp of people. Just their emotions are raging, or our emotions are being crammed down. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." We're not supposed to be in fear. We're supposed to be in self-control. Here's some signs that show that we might have emotional weakness. We lack empathy. We have poor coping skills. Emotional outbursts. Relationship struggles. Insensitivity. Blaming others. Uncomfortable with serious conversations. Turning conversations inward. Now, a few years ago, we took a bunch of kids backpacking. And we did this for our youth group. Some dads and I would always get together to take kids backpacking. And we really wanted it to be a experience that year of just really connecting with God's creation, connecting with each other. And I remember hiking down the trail, and we wanted to get real with each other, so we said, well, let's share things that we see in each other that we need to work on. And so these guys shared with me, and they said, well, you're a little insensitive, and you lack empathy. And that hurt my feelings. I'm like, well, you guys are the ones that are being insensitive. I didn't say that. That's what I thought. And these guys saw this in my life. But when we moved out to Severance 3 years ago, it's a big move. Right as everything was happening, we were selling a house, buying a house, and I got a house that needed a lot of work, and I was talking to my dad and asking him, hey, would you, he was retired, he knew he could build anything. So would you be up for helping us to kind of get this house back on its feet? And he's like, well, I can try. And so we moved forward with the house, and lo and behold, he kind of got sick. And when he got sick, 18 days later, he died. This guy was the healthiest guy I knew. And so between that and moving, so another little piece of the story is that me and my wife have been married. We're on our 34 years of marriage. And in 32 of those years-ish, she has never seen me cry. Not once. She thought she did once. I'm like, I was not crying. And she'll argue that was me, and I'm like, nah. But as this all came together, as we were out in Severance, one early morning, God was pressing on me all kinds of things. And I got up. Well, she got me up because I wasn't sleeping, and I was tossing and turning, and I was mad because I wasn't sleeping. Things were just kind of coming apart. And I buried my head into her shoulder, and I wept like a baby. And it was so relieving. And she was so shocked and amazed that in 32 years, she finally got to see me cry, or she got to experience that. And what I learned from that is that when you have that kind of strength in your emotions, that you can have them under control like that, it opens you up to being able to love deeply. And I kid you not, probably 2 weeks ago, Renee said, you know what, one thing I've noticed about you? You're not more sensitive these days. You're not as insensitive as you used to be. You seem to be showing people more empathy. And then I find these for my talk. I was like, whoa. That's pretty cool. We have to have our emotions in balance. We can't be flying off the handle. And it's not about packing our emotions down and crying. It's not about tough guys don't cry. Some biblical examples of this. There's a ton of them in the Bible. We got Joshua and Caleb. When they were spying out the land, they came back. Everybody was like, oh, we can't go. There's too many giants. And you know, they were wanting to go ahead and take it. David, tons of examples with David. Many occasions when Paul's pursuing him. My favorite is when his families were taken in Ziklag. All of David's men wanted to kill him. David went and found strength in the Lord. It was a tough situation. His families were taken. His men were turning on him. He didn't freak out. He went right where he needed to go. He went right to the Lord, and the Lord strengthened him. And they went back. They got their families. They got everything they lost. But that's because David strengthened himself in the Lord. I hope you guys are strengthening yourselves in the Lord every day. If you're not, you need to start. You're not going to have control of your emotions without the Lord on your side. Emotions are natural. Emotions are good. And emotions are very necessary. That's why God gave them to you. We got to think clearly. We got to handle things with great resolve. That's what God's called us to do and to be as men. Okay, mental strength. This is one of my favorite points because I've actually really been thinking about this a lot. Here's our verse again. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. I was reading this verse last fall and this came across and the word mind just kept popping up. I think God was like, Roger, are you loving me with all of your mind? And I had to think about that. And as I tried to meditate on it, my mind starts wandering. It starts going in all kinds of directions. And it's like, well, no, God, I'm not probably loving you with all of my mind. Well, this is the greatest commandment. I should be doing this. And I said, it's because I have a lot of things going on in my life, God. I'm very distracted. I'm very busy. Most of this work is for you. That's why I'm busy. So it's a little hard to stay focused. And he's like, I don't think that's it. And as I thought about it, I was like, well, why am I so distracted? Ooh, could be because of this. Now, I'm guessing that most of you guys, I heard a couple people said that they didn't have a smartphone or even a phone. Good for you. Never buy one. But I'm also guessing many of you guys have one. And I'm going to say most of you guys are probably pretty good at not looking at pornography on your phone. I'm going to guess that there are a few of you in here that probably struggle with that. I'm not going to talk about that very much. I do want to say one little thing about that. Pornography will destroy your life. Absolutely destroy it. I've counseled and I've been with a lot of men that have struggled with this. And they have lost wives. They have lost children. They've lost friends. They've lost money. They've lost jobs. Pornography will absolutely destroy your life. Not one person has ever told me, I'm so glad I started looking at pornography. It has just really blessed my life. My career is just like out of this world now. My relationship with all my family is just unbelievable. Not one person has ever given me a positive thing about looking at pornography. If you're one of those guys, get some help. you're going to need it. It's going to be hard work. But you can be free from that. I know. It's been proven. Don't look at pornography. It'll destroy your life. For the rest of us, we think we do pretty good with our phones. And Satan, I believe, is like, oh, you don't want to look at pornography? That's okay. I'm okay with that. I'm just fine with that. But what about these other little videos, these other little reels, these other little things? In my own life, I started noticing that I spend a lot of times watching really stupid stuff on my phone. I like watching people blow things up. I like watching people fall off of things, do dumb things. It makes me laugh. I love watching all the sports highlights. I love looking up stuff to figure out how to build something or fix something. I do all kinds of stuff. But it absolutely distracts me. And I think that's Satan's plan, even when you don't look at pornography, is it's like, that's okay. Because Satan knows that you're supposed to love God with all your mind. But if I can just keep putting these little things in front of you and just distract you, mission accomplished. We do not love God with all of our mind. It matters what you put into your mind. Now, when we moved to Severance, we were there about a year looking for ways to get involved in the community, to meet people. I kept driving by this gym every day. And finally said, I'm going to pull in there. I'm going to see what this is all about. So pulled in there, talked to him, liked the people. My wife and some of my kids, we joined the gym. So we started doing this. At that time, it was a CrossFit gym. Now it's just a gym. So we started working out, trying to meet people. And we've been there for 3 months. The first month, let me tell you, was really rough. I have never been that sore in my life. It was worth it, though. Don't get me wrong there. I had muscles I did not know I had. And they could hurt really bad. Month number two started getting a lot better. I started getting a lot more energy, started feeling good. I was like, okay, this is worth it. It's really good. Month three, you know, it's just like, okay, meeting people, this is great. But after 3 months, I will tell you, and you can judge me later, I guess, or call me a hypocrite for thinking that my body's an idol, but I wasn't looking to get big and muscular. I was looking, though, to shed some of my winter weight. When you turn 40, 45, you start to develop this extra little layer around your gut that you can't seem to get rid of. And so I went and talked to one of the trainers, and the trainer said, I asked her, hey, am I going to have to start working out more than 3 days a week? Mind you, I was only doing 3 days a week. I said, am I going to have to start working out more to get this to go away? She said, nah. You know what? Let me work with you on your nutrition. You stay working out 3 days a week, give me 3 months, and at the end of 3 months, let's see where you're at. So I said, okay, deal. I didn't really want to work out more than that. So she started helping me figure out what I was putting in my mouth. And I'm using this as an analogy because I think it really goes well with what we put into our brain. And after 3 months of working with her with my nutrition, I'm going to show you a picture, and I'm a little embarrassed about this. I actually was not going to do this, because I won't catch any flack. We talked about being insensitive. Let's not be insensitive to Roger. I did not change working out. Still 3 days a week. On the left is what I look like after 3 months. On the right is after 3 months, I'm just figuring out what to put in my mouth. That's right. All of my youth. It matters what you put into your brain. We cannot sit in front of our Bibles every day in the morning. Hallelujah if you do. Get up from there and then jump on our phones. And even if you're not doing pornography, but you're just looking at stupid stuff on your phone. I'm guilty of that. And let me tell you, for about a month and a half now, I've been trying to separate myself from my phone. And when I did that, I didn't realize how addicted I am to it. It's hard. I have a justification in me, like, I've worked hard. I've done my quiet time. I've done my prayer. Now I can just do what I want. Not true. It matters of what you put into your mind. So where do we go from here? It takes discipline. Man, does it take discipline. Be a disciple of discipline. It takes consistency. Show up every day. You guys got to be there every day. Takes integrity. Do not cut corners. Be honest with yourself. You're only cheating yourself if you cut corners. And perseverance. Embrace the suck. There will be a lot of days that really suck. You need to persevere through them. The only easy day was yesterday. So where do we go from here? I just got some practical things for you guys to think about and do. There's a book out there called Atomic Habits. I know some of you have heard it. I've actually seen it. This is an awesome book of a guy that helps you figure out how to make good habits and break bad ones. And what he does is he says that these things that you, if you want to keep doing them, they need to become part of your identity. If you have a hard time getting up and reading your Bible every day, it's not part of your identity yet. Read this book, it'll help you. Commit to physical activity 3 days a week or something. You don't have to do what we did. You could go for a run, you could go for a walk, you could get on a treadmill, you could do a bike. But you guys saw in 7 minutes, you guys were breathing hard. You can get a good workout in 7 minutes. Follow David's example. Be strengthened by the Lord. We have got to be strengthened by the Lord. Break your addiction with your phone. I know a lot of you guys have an addiction to the phone, even though if it's good things or innocent things. I see it wherever I go. People are always picking their phones up, picking their phones up, picking their phones up. Surround yourself with like-minded men that want to take these challenges on. You guys cannot do this by yourselves. You'll peter out. There's a lot of guys in the room that want to do this. Lock arms with them. Be committed. You're going to have to change your mind diet. How do we change our mind diet? When was the last time you guys memorized Scripture? We got to get back to memorizing Scripture. I actually started doing this not too long ago. You guys can get yourself a little binder, note card thing here and just start putting verses in it that you want to memorize. When you start memorizing Scripture, instead of putting stupid stuff into your brain from your phone, you start to love the Lord your God with all of your mind. Because you start thinking of these verses. You start reciting them. Change your mind diet. Here's a couple of great verses. Philippians 4:8. It's a great verse. 2 Peter. Memorize those two verses. Men. You guys were created in God's image. And he stepped back and said that was very good. Do not let the world define that for you. You were created in God's image. The world has no idea what that means. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. And be strong. Do all of this in love. Do not let the world define that for you. All right, let's pray. Lord, we just want to humbly admit, God, that we need your help. We want to submit to you. God, we fail at this every day. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your kindness. Strengthen us, Lord. We want to be mighty men for you, Lord. You have work for us to do. You have kingdom work for us to do, Lord, and it takes our strength that you've given us. Help us, God. Open our eyes, God. Lord, we ask for your blessing. Thank you, God, that you love us. Thank you, God, that you love deeply. Lord, we love you. We want to follow you, Lord. We want to see your kingdom come. Just pray that you bless that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.